I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson and Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley demanding answers and an investigation into alleged whistleblower retaliation. Now against veteran IRS employees. The senators sending letters to Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz, Treasury Inspector General Russell George, and IRS Commissioner Daniel Werfel. Joining me right now is the man himself, Wisconsin Senator, member of the Senate Homeland Security Budget and Finance Committees. He's also the ranking member of the Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations. Ron Johnson is here. So we've been talking a lot in the past few weeks about whistleblowers at the FBI and the DOJ. You're looking at the whistleblowers at the IRS. Tell me what you've learned.
Well, we've learned that a deputy commissioner sent out an email to the employees at IRS talking about protected disclosures and their rights, but he completely left out the anti-gag language that informs them that they have every right to whistleblow to Congress. And that's an incredibly important feature. We need more whistleblowers. We are seeing corruption at the highest level of so many different government agencies, and we need people with integrity to step forward and tell Congress what is happening, because the American people are losing faith in these governmental agencies, and I don't blame them whatsoever. I don't trust them.
Do you trust our federal government and our agencies right now as they're being weaponized by the Biden administration? If you answer yes, may I state politely, you're a fool. Let me add an exclamation. You're a damn fool. There's no reason to flat out accept federal agencies right now. I'm not talking about the rank and file. I'm talking about the leadership. Unfortunately, the rank and file are having to follow orders from above. Thank you for joining us here. We are June 7, 2023. We are live streaming as I speak during the noon hour. We always do live streaming on Rumble. You can go to rumble.com. Larry Connors USA is one way to get to us. You can also go to rumble.com and enter in News Talk STL. We're on both platforms. Glad to have you watch either live or pull it up later and watch and then share with others. So here we have the investigations, as we pointed out previously. The House is carrying out as many investigations as it can. It promised it would if Republicans got control of the House, and they do. And, of course, over the Senate, we've had investigations underway already in the Judiciary Committee by Senators Johnson of Wisconsin and Senator Grassley of Iowa. And then they are working in cohorts with the Republicans inside the House. Now, if there's going to be an impeachment of anybody, be it FBI Director Wray or Alejandro Mayorkas or anyone, AG Merrick Garland or even Biden himself, that has to originate in the House. And, of course, that's basically an indictment. And then it goes to the Senate for the trial, and then there's a decision to impeach or not impeach. Currently, Republicans don't hold the Senate, so no one indicted in the House is going to be probably impeached in the Senate. That's not going to stop the investigations, and they should continue to ramp up. Now, I know a lot of folks say this is just more politics and more politics, more politics. There was a caller earlier today on Vic Priscilli's show. He and Ken Williams were taking this caller, and the caller was basically saying, all you guys are all, you're always pushing Trump. You're not talking about all the things Trump is doing wrong. I know Vic and Ken have also pointed out flaws for Trump. I certainly have. But how do you possibly ignore? You go after Trump in any way you want, on anything, and they are doing it. Classified documents misheld. Did they take the same approach when Hillary Clinton had classified documents she never really turned over, destroyed them on her own, deciding you don't need to see them, they're all personal, and she made that decision? Can you imagine the outcry if Trump had destroyed documents saying you don't need to see them? And then on top of that, whether or not he classified them as president or not, that's still under question. And some are saying, oh, we think we've got him on audio tape that he knew he had documents that weren't declassified, that he had not declassified. I don't care. Go down those roads all day long. But you cannot ignore the expressway that goes right to the Biden family and how the FBI, the DOJ, and the Attorney General are all directing traffic away from the expressway. Detour, detour, detour. Do not take the expressway that takes you right to Biden. And therefore, we have every reason to suspect and question federal agencies while they're being weaponized. Senator Johnson asked by Maria Bartiromo, what do you see them hiding and where?
That's hard to say. We've seen it in federal health agencies, certainly federal law enforcement. But, you know, the history of it, is, from my standpoint, starts with Lois Lerner when Obama weaponized the IRS against Tea Party groups. And then you had the FBI exonerate Hillary Clinton and that same cast of characters that exonerated her. They're the ones who were involved in the corrupt Russian collusion hoax, which resulted in the Mueller special counsel. And then, of course, the sabotaging of the Hunter Biden laptop, the scheme to downplay any derogatory information on Hunter Biden. Now we've got a whistleblower that came forward to Senator Grassley's office saying the FBI knew as far back as 2017 a credible human source was reporting about a $5 million payment to then Vice President Biden to change policies for some business or some entity in Ukraine.
Yeah, and nothing's really been done about it. We're going to get back onto that subject in a moment. And in our second hour today. But right now, you heard Senator Johnson talking about the IRS and how it's basically trying to not remind IRS employees you have a right to be a whistleblower. And he pointed out, remember the Lois Lerner episode? I would imagine many of you do, but let me refresh your memory. We're talking about the director of the exempt organizations unit of the IRS at that time in 2005, and then in 2013 became the IRS targeting controversy because they were basically denying, delaying, or ignoring and rejecting any tax-exempt status from groups that had Tea Party in them or conservative or the word Trump or patriot. Those all got put off to the side, and we may get to them. Yeah, we got time, but we got all these others. Everything that included all the liberal agenda. They were quickly being given tax-exempt status so they could declare that and go out and collect money. Lerner later apologized on May 10th in a conference call with reporters, May 10th, 2013, she apologized that Tea Party groups and other groups had been targeted for audits for their applications for tax exemption. Only three groups, all branches of the Democrat group Emerge America, had their exemptions revoked. Lerner ended up resigning over the controversy. It shouldn't have stopped there. She should have been prosecuted. But an investigation by the U.S. Department of Justice and the FBI, completed in 2015, found, quote, substantial evidence of mismanagement, poor judgment, institutional inertia. But, stand back. We do not know how big this is going to get again. Stand back. But they found, and this is almost wording from Comer as he's talking and testifying to the Senate about Hillary, found, quote, no evidence that any IRS official acted based on political, discriminatory, corrupt, or other inappropriate motives that would support a criminal prosecution. You know why they didn't find it? Because they weren't looking. And they were redefining everything, putting a D label on it, which meant not damning as it should have been, but Democrat. Do not touch. Now, again, to Congressman Comer and the House Ways and Means Committee, the Kentucky congressman says, we finally, of course, got to see the document we've been wanting, and FBI Director Ray finally admitted he had it.
It took them a long time to admit they had the document. When he finally figured out that Senator Grassley and I both knew without a shadow of a doubt that the document existed, then they finally admitted to having the document, and they said that they would allow me and Jamie Raskins to go in a classified setting and review a redacted copy of the document. Now, we all know what happened after we came out of there. We were in there for 90 minutes. Not only did we review the 1023 form that implicates Joe Biden in a potential bribery scheme. Then they gave us a briefing. They told us things like there was an ongoing investigation and this document had been handed over to the investigator. And then we walk right outside and Jamie Raskins says things that just aren't true. He says that this was part of Rudy Giuliani, that the document had something to do with Rudy Giuliani. That is a complete and bald-faced lie.
It is a bald-faced lie. I'm glad he called it out like that. But again, Senator Johnson of Wisconsin said the deep state is hiding everything.
The deep state knows what it's done wrong. They know how to hide the ball. That's why we need other whistleblowers with integrity that understand some of the wrongdoing to come forward to Congress. The American people deserve the truth, and unfortunately, Congress's oversight abilities and capabilities have been really neutered over the last few decades because administrations realize we have very few enforcement mechanisms. So I'm glad to see James Comer going after Director Wray, insisting that he turn over that 1023 on that one whistleblower. We need these agencies to come clean. They need to start being responsible to the other co-equal branch of government, Congress, that has responsibility to investigate just as much as the Department of Justice has the responsibility to investigate.
And we're going to look into that more in the second hour. Today, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri was grilling a Biden judicial nominee. You want to hear this?
You remember working on that case?
Yes, Senator.
This was a case involving the district's lockdown policies that shut down churches in the district. Is that correct?
It concerned litigation over provision of the lockdown policies. The policies restricted all types of activity in the district.
All types of activity in the district?
Yes, Senator.
Did it restrict mass protests in the district?
Well, it restricted activities that one normally expected, including work, going to stores. It also did include these provisions that were challenged concerning churches.
So it exempted unusual or unlikely activities that's in the statute, that's in the ordinance?
When the mayor was enacting these orders at the outset of the pandemic, I think she was trying to be as comprehensive as she could, and the order did restrict a number of daily activities of district residents.
But it exempted mass protests?
I don't believe it said anything one way or another.
Can you point me to the text where it exempted mass protests?
I don't believe it said anything one way or another.
Of course it didn't, because it didn't exempt mass protests, right? You know that.
I think it was silent on the issue, because I don't believe it was contemplated by the mayor's office.
Ah.
What an edge. And she didn't contemplate. We're talking about D.C. Mayor Bowser, and that was the Biden's judicial nominee for the U.S. District Court for the D.C. area, Lauren Alakin, and she was defending Mayor Bowser at that time because of the COVID policy. Everybody's got to be locked down. Oh, unless you're out in the streets protesting and you want to shout defund the police, you were allowed to do that. And she said, I don't think the mayor anticipated that, and that's why she didn't issue a specific order. You know why. You know why. And yet she expects us and Senator Hawley to buy that story. You don't buy it, and neither did Senator Hawley.
Do you think it's wrong to discriminate on the basis of religious faith?
Absolutely, Senator.
Why did you argue that religious services, religious people pose a greater risk of infection than people gathered to argue for defunding the police?
I was representing my client. The mayor and consulting epidemiologists had issued orders that she thought were going to protect public health. It was my role to defend those as a
Why did you make that argument? This seems like a strange argument to me, that religious people are somehow, what, more infectious than folks who have other ideological positions? I don't get it.
My understanding was the nature of singing and other things epidemiologists thought could transmit COVID at a higher rate.
You didn't
rate.
Put any scientific evidence in the record for it.
Senator, those were fast-moving cases, and they weren't going to full briefing and full summary judgment with a record.
That's not what the district court said. The district court said that you engaged in, and your client engaged in, and you defended discrimination on the basis of religious belief, that you offered no scientific evidence for it, that you pressed these arguments over and over and over without any foundation.
And he went on to say, and for that reason, I will not support your nomination. That is Senator Josh Hawley, taking to task one of the Biden nominees to be a federal judge. I want to remind you again, that's what's also at stake this time around in this 2024 presidential election. When Trump and Hillary were against each other, I told you then, even if you don't like Trump, you got to accept the fact, who do you want to appoint members to the U.S. Supreme Court? Trump ended up getting 3 appointments to the Supreme Court. By God's providence, they were there when the Roe v. Wade came up for reconsideration and abortion was struck down as law of the land because it was never constitutional. But, as you know by now, and I want to let you hear how it was first announced today, Hawley has a challenger coming up, possibly in his next election.
Well, we have a big announcement just moments ago from St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney Wesley Bell. He says he is running for U.S. Senate in Missouri. The Democrat said in his announcement video, quote, "We need leaders who try to help, unlike Josh Hawley, who's in a rush to be famous." Bell would face Democrat Lucas Kuntz in next year's August primary. According to our partners at the Post-Dispatch, Kuntz has already secured some early endorsements from labor unions representing firefighters, asbestos workers, and bricklayers. Bell, who grew up in North St. Louis County, became the county's first black prosecuting attorney in 2018 after defeating 7-term incumbent Robert McCullough.
The best thing I can see about Bell is he has not been like we had in St. Louis City. I have, before I wrap up this hour, a need to make an apology to you. I need to apologize to each and every one of you. There's no excuse for what I did yesterday. I'm going to admit that right now. I have no excuse. I owe you an apology. I want you to hear it direct from me later because what I did and actually failed to do yesterday should be held accountable. So before we conclude today's program, I want to tell you exactly what I did wrong, and I'm sure you agree I was wrong, but you might give me some allowance, some grace. In the meantime, lock and load. Ready on the right, George Norrie coming up. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. When I endorse a product, I want it to be a quality product I put my name behind. That's why I'm recommending when it comes to windows, you go to Renewal by Anderson. Start by calling 1-877-WINDOWS, 1-877-WINDOWS. They will start by finding out where you're losing energy, driving up cost in summer and winter. They have the nation's best warranty, 1-877-WINDOWS, or go to their website, rbastl.com. RBASTL.com.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This ain't no baseball, no hero. This ain't no baseball, no better man.
This ain't no baseball, no hero. Come home. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's an interesting story that's developed, and there are a lot of questions about it because we already know that various UFO information that had been withheld from the public has now been released, but not all of it. And anytime something new comes up along that line, everyone wants to know, does this have any validity? One of the latest is a former intel official turned whistleblower giving Congress and the U.S. Intelligence Community Inspector General what he considered and called classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possess retrieved intact and partially intact craft of non-human beings. The information, he says, has been illegally withheld from Congress. He filed a complaint alleging that he suffered illegal retaliation for his confidential disclosures. And this is being reported for the first time in this source. And let me give you the source so you can check it out, too. It's called The Debrief. It's a science, tech, science, defense, aerospace type publication. I'm not going to verify and say everything on the sheet is accurate, but that gives you a good idea. But the whistleblower is a 36-year-old former decorated former combat officer in Afghanistan, a veteran of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, the National Reconnaissance Office, serving as a reconnaissance office representative to the United Aerial Phenomena Task Force from 2009 to 2021. And then from 2021 to July 2022, he was the NGA's co-lead for the UAP analysis and its representative for the task force. We were scheduled to have George Norrie of Coast to Coast to broadcast on more than 600 stations. We're having trouble making contact the last minute. We're still continue. We got him on board now? Good. George, welcome. Glad to have you.
Hey, Larry, always great to be with you. How have you been?
Great. So we were going through the details. I know that you've got to be familiar with it because Coast to Coast often, not always, but often deals with paranormal and other issues about UFOs. What was your reaction to this former intel officer turning whistleblower claiming that with deep covert programs have possessed intact, partially intact craft of non-human origin?
It's a major story. We've always believed over the years, Larry, that we're being visited by extraterrestrials from other civilizations out there in the solar system and out there in the galaxy and the universe. And this guy, a former Air Force intelligence officer by the name of David Charles Grush, went public with something that we've talked about for years on Coast to Coast, for example, talking about how the government has recovered crashed UFOs of non-human origin. It's an amazing story. Now, is the guy the real deal? I think so. And why
is that?
I don't know. It's just my gut feeling.
We do know that from previous stories you've had, and the general consensus is that the government knew more about UFOs than they were letting us know. They finally unveiled some of that a while back. So that does raise, again, suspicion that why not trust the guy?
Well, I'm not sure if you can trust the government, because why have they hidden and held back for so many years?
The pressure's
on them now, Larry, to start disclosing. NASA had a hearing last week. They're supposed to release more information in July. Pilots, and you're a pilot yourself. Pilots have seen strange things in the skies that they can't even keep track of. They go by so fast. They're not Chinese. They're not Russian, because they would have used these in Ukraine or any place else by now.
And they're also tracked on radar. It's not just the pilot's vision.
Oh, they're there. They're physical objects, whatever they may be. Now, the government has simply said, we don't know what they are. They call them UAPs, unidentified aerial phenomena. We call them UFOs. We always have. But they do admit they're out there. They don't know what they are, and they say 2 to 5% of all the cases they've had over the years, they can't explain. Well, all you need is one case.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Now, you mentioned the UAP task force. A recently retired Army colonel and current aerospace executive, Carl E. Nell, says he's worked with Grush, the guy that's making this statement, and it characterizes him as, quote, beyond reproach.
Well, and that's important. It's critically important. This story originally hit the website called The Debrief, and then it grew further and further, where a journalist by the name of Ross Coulthard came out and interviewed Charles. And we're in the process of working on getting him on Coast to Coast, for example. I think he'd be a great interview. But,
sure.
You know, the bottom line here, Larry, is, why have they hidden this information from us all these years? Roswell occurred back in July of 1947.
Yeah.
why not go public with it and just simply say, this is what we have? You know, they originally said the Army Air Force has recovered a crashed UFO of an unidentified origin. Then they came out with a balloon theory and all that nonsense. They changed the story. Why?
The interesting thing, too, is that this by the UAP as part of the federal fiscal year 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, which was spearheaded in part by Senator Marco Rubio and signed into law by President Biden back in December 2022. And the mission is to get some answers.
We need those answers, and people are entitled to it. And they once said in that movie, A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. Well, we can handle the truth. We know what's going on.
Well, you know, let's deal on that for 1 second. You hear enough from the coast-to-coast audience, and your audience spreads worldwide, basically, that how many of them actually believe that if something like that really exists, aliens from another world, that we all might start committing suicide or go crazy? I mean, what do they fear?
They fear everything. They fear that religions will fall apart, that will demand more answers and more freedoms and things like that. And that's what they're afraid of. They had a research study by the Brookings Institute many, many years ago that said that you cannot tell the public because they can't handle it. But we can handle it. I know we can.
Well, as you pointed out earlier, there's so much mistrust of the government right now, even if they came out and said, okay, this guy is right, but it's not, we're still trying to study it. In other words, here's a report, but it's so heavily redacted, you can't make sense of it anyway.
Well, that's absolutely true, and you're spot on, and I applaud you for jumping on this story as well, Larry.
Well, I thank you for taking time to be with us, because this is right down your alley, and I know you handle on coast to coast more than this kind of program, but I'm looking again at a statement that was cleared by his statements, by the way, I need to add to this, were cleared for publication by the Pentagon back in April. So they already knew what he was going to say, and he asserted that UFO, quote, legacy programs have long been concealed within multiple agencies, basically trying to vet UAP activities, the unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yep, absolutely. And he went public with it, and let's hope he continues doing what he's doing.
Do you think that maybe once the Pentagon realized he's going to say that, that some might have said, you know, why don't you just go off to an island for a while and let us take care of this or put any threats against him? He claims he's a whistleblower, which means he would be protected under federal law for any retaliation of any type.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, he has gone public. He has his own reasons for why he wanted to do this and why he waited so long. But he definitely has said they've recovered UFOs of non-human origin.
That's a big statement, non-human. I mean, that means obviously. Could it suggest, could they look for an out that, well, it was created by a robot, artificial intelligence?
Who knows where it came from other than probably within our own galaxy, somewhere out there. Great story. It's a great story.
Again, we certainly thank you, George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast, 600-plus stations, and I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, Larry.
We'll do it again. One other thing I might add, that the evaluation, most recent evaluation of this same guy, described him as an officer with the strongest moral compass. Doesn't sound like a loony. Coming up, I do have an apology to make before we wrap up today's program. That is still to come. Please stand by. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid, I'm a dog. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's stupid, I'm a dog. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no more.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
By this point, it's possible that American citizens are the least informed people in the world. Your average yak herder in Tajikistan knows who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline. It's obvious. Does he think some skinny dude in a dress is actually a girl? Come on. That idea would never occur to him. You've got to be lied to at full volume over a period of years in order to reach conclusions like that. And of course, we have been. The media lie. They do. But mostly they just ignore the stories that matter. What's happened to the hundreds of billions of U.S. dollars we've sent to Ukraine? No clue. Who organized those BLM riots 3 years ago? No one's gotten to the bottom of that. What exactly happened on 9/11? Well, it's still classified. How did Jeffrey Epstein make all that money? How did he die? How about JFK? And so endlessly on. Not only are the media not interested in any of this, they are actively hostile to anybody who is. In journalism, curiosity is the gravest crime.
Gravest crime. Now, that is Tucker Carlson. He's back, and he's using Twitter and doing, what, 2 to 3 million or so a night in some cases on Twitter. I mean, that's exceeding 72.73. Wow, 2.7 million views. 73 million. Oh, my bad. My misinterpretation of the note. Thanks, Quentin. 73 million viewers on Twitter. I was going to say 2 million. That might have been just for a first initial vent, but 73 million. He does not need Fox News. Fox News needs him. And, of course, today NBC's getting rid of their CEO, the light. He did not light last very long, did he, at NBC? And Tucker Carlson is still going to make waves. They're not going to shut him up. Now, he had already indicated by one of his first postings shortly after Fox News took him off the air. Remember, they're still having to pay him. He still has a contract with them. He cannot work for any competing network, but apparently there's no language in there that says he can't go to Twitter and do his own thing, which he obviously is. And again, very sharp writings, incisive writings. Even what was it? Even like a goat herder in Afghanistan knows that a man dressed in a dress is not a woman. Common sense type stuff. I wish him the best. And we need voices like that. And I think Fox made a very bad decision. Of course, they were just finishing up the payoff of the Dominion lawsuit, $1.5 billion. So they're trying to cut some losses somewhere. And I'm not sure that's going to be the last at Fox, but Fox has also been losing some audience as well. Sean Hannity still apparently holding pretty strong. Other shows kind of taking a dip. CNN is, that's why I said light is out, because it's just gone to, if you thought something could not go past hell in a handbasket, they found a way. They did. Now, something else that changed, and I could see this coming, and I'm applauding the guys that saw the opportunity and grabbed it. I'm talking about the Live Golf group that came together. Now, I know a lot of folks are not going to like this, but think of the players that had an opportunity to make Millions. They were offered millions just to play on the LIV golf tournament. Well, the PGA Tour said, well, if you're going to do that, you can't play with us. We're not going to sanction anything. And some golfers, Tiger Woods being one of them, decided to stay with the PGA. Well, he's got millions he's made. Some of these other guys, they're scrambling to make the cut and make any kind of money. And if you're going to give me a guarantee check, am I not going to take it? They did. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, the PGA is going to have to, either going to crumble or join forces with LIV. They've got so much money, and it's coming from the Saudis. And therein lies a claim. We've got some already claiming this is blood money and morality, antitrust violations. Those were all the claims from the PGA. Now they're going to merge with blood money and morality because of the almighty dollar themselves. And they're putting aside all of their 2 years of lawsuits and disruptions and distractions. And in fact, the PGA president issued a lengthy statement stating, we are pleased to move forward and step with the LIV. And then I applaud the governor of the Saudi League for kind of coming up with this idea. And I would imagine, again, the PGA got some money in the process. But now there's another part of the story I want to share with you. I don't care what you think of the Saudis. I know some, and they're very good people. But the government as a whole, we have questions about. And you make allies in some parts of the country that, yeah, you know, it might not be my best friend, but it might also be an enemy that I want to hold close. And to that extent, the United Arab Emirates, all that area, you know, we need any kind of friendship we can get in there. 9/11 survivors and members, I should say, of those who died in it are blasting the PGA for this sudden and surprising announcement, merging with LIV Golf, LIV, backed by the Saudi Arabian government. That's the other key. This is not just a Saudi business. It's a Saudi-backed, or I should say Saudi-backed, depending on your pronunciation, golfing agency. Bankrolled by billions of sports-washing money from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, according to some. And also the 9/11 Families United said that LIV, in addition to that, is accusing the Saudi government of pledging and playing a role in terrorist attacks that killed nearly 3,000 Americans. We do know that every hijacker on 9/11 was from Saudi, had connections to Saudi in one way or the other. One of them whose husband, one of the victims whose husband died in the terror attacks, accused the PGA Tour commissioner of being a Saudi shill, according to the HuffPost. And she added, but now the PGA appearing to become the just more paid Saudi shills, taking billions of dollars to cleanse the Saudi reputation so that Americans and the world will forget how the Saudi kingdom spent their billions of dollars before 9/11 to fund terrorism, spread their vitriolic hatred of Americans, finance Al-Qaeda. And on those points, a lot of them are exactly right, and the murder of our loved ones. And she adds, make no mistake, we will never forget. Which brings me to an apology I need to give you from yesterday.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Any day now, any day, Napoli C will open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. You'll get lobster, crab, fish. Napoli C opening any day. But if you're in the mood for pasta, Napoli 3 is right next door. It's open for lunch and on Sundays. You can often find me at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles, and any day now at Napoli C. Napoli C opening any day now.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I don't think I have to remind you that this war has been going on for almost 5 years. Over half of Europe has been overrun and occupied. We're comparative newcomers. England's gone through a blitz with a knife at her throat since 1940. I'm quite sure that they too are impatient and itching to go. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir. Quite clear.
3 million men penned up on this island. All over England in staging areas like this. We're on the threshold of the most crucial day of our times. 3 million men out there, keyed up, just waiting for that big step off.
The big step off, D-Day. That was John Wayne from the movie The Longest Day, the 1962 American epic film, shot in black and white, based on Cornelius Ryan's 1959 nonfiction book of the same name. And, of course, all talking about the D-Day landings at Normandy, June 6, 1944. Here's my apology, and I deeply, sincerely mean it. I should have done this yesterday on June 6th, the anniversary. I failed to do so. I had other things in play, and somewhere along the line, I dropped it. Shame on me. Shame on me that I would drop something like that, but I did. There were some who gathered for D-Day, some that still survived World War II in D.C. at the World War II Memorial yesterday. But please accept my apology, and I'm being as sincere as I can, that this should have been covered yesterday. I got to think, I missed something. I didn't even mention D-Day. I mean, that's like going through December 7th in Pearl Harbor. I want you to keep in mind, for those of you who really aren't familiar with it, The Longest Day, by the way, is obviously a great film if you haven't seen it. All of it dealing with the largest amphibious landing in military history. They had the code name Overlord. 5 naval assault divisions hitting the beaches of Normandy, France. One of my grandsons just returned from an exchange student program, and they were located near Normandy, and he said, we did go out and see the beach and some of the memorials, he said, but I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted, but we got to see it. I know my father always wanted to make one of those trips. I regret he didn't get to. 160,000 Allied troops landing along a 50-mile stretch of that heavily fortified French coastline to fight Nazi Germany on the beaches of Normandy. That's the way it's stated in the D-Day history of the U.S. Army. General Dwight Eisenhower, of course, called the operation a crusade in which, quote, we will accept nothing less than victory. And as you heard in the statements of John Wayne and taken from the book again, written by that, and maybe some additional dialogue added, 3 million men stationed and women stationed across England, waiting to get the step off to go. Weather became an issue, but finally the word was go. There's another part inside that same movie. You know, these little clicker things you get that used to be in Cracker Jack boxes and so forth. Those were passed out to paratroopers that were going in behind enemy lines. Because not only were we invading from the sea with these naval assault amphibious, Marines for the most part, making those initial assaults. Not taking anything away from the other forces, please understand that. But they were hitting the beachhead in the beginning, and then you had Marines and others paratrooping in behind the lines, and they were all given these little clicker buttons. And they said, if you encounter someone and you're not sure in the dark if it's enemy or friend, you give a click. If they get 2 clicks back, then you're good. If they don't respond, you can consider that person's an enemy. The cost in lives on D-Day was high, but it helped get a foothold in continental Europe, according to the Army figures, and it's higher than what some other figures indicate. 9,000 Allied soldiers killed or wounded. But their sacrifice also allowed more than 100,000 soldiers begin that slow and savage battle across Europe to defeat Adolf Hitler's crack troops. On that particular day, we had depending on how you break it out and the numbers have changed, and some later died of injuries, you certainly have to realize that, we had a minimum of 4,415 Allied soldiers killed. 2,500 were Americans. And I'm talking about, keep in mind the Allies that came together at that time. U.S., United Kingdom, Canada, France, Australia, Czechoslovakia, Poland, Belgium, Netherlands, Norway, New Zealand, Greece, South Africa. The conditions for the D-Day invasion were far from ideal. Despite massive bombardments and trying to pull off a surprise, there were still areas that were heavily fortified. And if you ever saw the most latest movie, Saving Private Ryan, dealing with it, I went to one of the first showings of that, and there were men in there that obviously had participated and weeping and some having to leave. They were, as Tom Brokaw called them, the greatest generation. We thank them and salute them for what they did for this country and our pledge, one nation under God.